It's the Congressional Corner, and we're joined by Vermont U.S. Senator Peter Welch, a Democrat. Just a couple more things about our talks on the debt ceiling package and the two-year budget. We touched on the fact that there will be new work requirements, especially for older Americans who receive SNAP benefits as part of this agreement. What kind of effect do you think that will have?
A lot of people who need help and really can't work are going to lose nutrition benefits. So I think that's bad. The nutrition program is really helping Americans who are needing food and who really have very limited or no capacity to work. You know, my view on work is that all of us should work. If you can work, you should work. But if you're hungry, we should help feed you. And the work requirement is a bit of a proxy here to try to cut down on the spending on the program. So I'm concerned, very concerned about the impact that these new provisions will have on folks who legitimately need help with the nutrition programs. And it mainly is older people. It's people with some significant disabilities. It's also oftentimes people who, even if they're able, they have caregiver responsibilities for fully disabled people who live in their household. Now, the one good thing that came out of this is a number of our veterans who need nutrition access to the nutrition program are going to get it. And homeless folks are also going to have some access to the nutrition program.
Is that something that could be re-looked at in the next farm bill, which is also under discussion now?
It is. And what the one thing that I think is good is that in the farm bill, there's usually a very big and long fight about the nutrition program. And what the chair of the committee and the ranking member, Senator Sabinow and Senator Bozeman, have said is that we're not going to be reopening that. So I think the nutrition programs are solid. But Senator Fetterman, who's the chair of the Nutrition Committee, and I both want to take a shot at restoring what was taken away in the negotiations.
Let me follow up with a Vermont state-specific question now, since you mentioned the homeless population. Federal funding for the voucher program for housing homeless people in hotels and motels ended. The state then took over the program. Now the state program is ending. And advocates have been telling us they're worried about a potential spike in homelessness across Vermont. So my question for you is this something that you're working on? Is there a chance for new federal funding? And how unique is Vermont in this situation?
Vermont's not unique, but our problem is severe. It's really shocking, but Vermont has the second highest per capita homeless rate in the country after California. And of course, it's very tough to be homeless anywhere, but it's really tough to be homeless in a cold weather climate like we have in Vermont. So I'm extremely worried about that. You know, the federal funding was a lifeline for the state. It's extremely expensive, but now we have the federal funding ending. It's a huge challenge for the state to try to come up with replacement funding. I would be willing, if there was some possibility, to get some federal help to our state, because I think it's unrealistic that to think that the state can, or any state really, can just keep picking up the tab on what is a national problem. But we have a housing crisis in Vermont, and the folks who will be now no longer able to stay in the hotel, where are they going to go? I think that really is a big crisis. And the housing crisis that we have even goes beyond the homeless. It's really affecting the ability of young people who want to get started. It's affecting the ability of people who get offered really good jobs, but they try to find a place in Vermont to live and they can't. So we've got to be building more housing. And the Vermont State Legislature and the governor took some concrete steps where you can no longer have single family zoning. You're going to have anybody who wants to do a duplex is going to be able to do it. Are you going to be able to have an in-law apartment? You know, that's a concrete step that I think will be helpful, but we basically have to get more homes built.
Years ago, you served, obviously, in the state legislature. Governor Scott vetoed the state budget. What do you make of that current dynamic?
You know, that's something that I tend not to get directly involved in because that's a negotiation between the governor and the legislature. And what I see from a distance is that there's similar priorities. And then there's always the question that a governor and a legislature have to work out. you know, how much we can afford, how can we pay for it, how much revenues can we generate, what's the impact on the families of Vermont with whatever the revenue stream is. And so those are the ongoing discussions that have to take place right there. You know, my job here is to wrestle with those questions on the national budget.
Well, let's go back to Congress. Now that the debt ceiling deal is behind us, what's next before the August recess? What do you think are the big things for Congress to look at?
Well, you know, we're starting to do the budget process. And in the agreement, there's 12 separate budget appropriation bills. And the agreement that we just reached requires us to be doing each one of those and completing them, which I hope we do, because that Congress has not done for a number of years. Second, you know, I serve on the Agriculture Committee and chair of the Subcommittee on Rural Development and Energy, and I'm working hard there to advance broadband in our rural communities in Vermont and around the country. I'm serving on the Judiciary Committee, where we're doing a lot of work on the nominations to federal judgeships. And also, there's a lot of concern about the lack of ethics. It's astonishing. But the Supreme Court, the 9 judges who are the top judges in the country, have no code of ethics. And of course, with all the revelations about the extraordinary gifts to one of the justices, Justice Thomas, there's a lot of concern about that.
I'll follow up on that then. Obviously, you're talking about the reports of Harlan Crow, the GOP mega donor, donating to Clarence Thomas. The Supreme Court, though, was unified in announcing its resistance to new, you know, oversight from Congress. Where does that leave things right now?
Well, it's really disturbing to me that the Supreme Court will not take it upon itself to have a standard of ethics that applies. And it mystifies me. You know, Justice Roberts, a number of years ago, was invited by an association to give a speech, and they sent him a valuable but not unbelievably expensive book, like $100. He sent a letter back. He wasn't able to accept the invitation, but he sent the book back, too, saying it would be creating ethical questions. Well, you know, these gifts of private jets, yacht tours across Indonesia, buying a home for a justice's mother and letting her live there rent free. I mean, that's more than whatever the book was that Justice Roberts returned. And, you know, the Supreme Court is an extraordinarily important institution in our constitutional order. And it has to do what it can to maintain public support and respect. So it's astonishing to me that Justice Roberts, in his capacity as Chief Justice, won't take it upon himself to adopt a code of ethics or accept the code of ethics that applies to the 850 other federal judges. So it's a real concern to me. This has nothing to do with interfering with the judicial authority that is unique to the Supreme Court and how it decides its decisions and what those decisions are. We can't mess with that in Congress. That is their prerogative. But oversight is a legislative function. I mean, the salary, the size of the court, the jurisdiction, there are all these other questions where the New York State Legislature, the Vermont Legislature is very involved. Where we can't be involved is when it comes to the court's consideration of a pending case, how it decides it and what it decides.
And if I understand Robert's argument correctly, he's saying that the court was established by the Constitution. It was not set up by state legislatures or the Congress, and therefore it should be subject to different rules or its own rules as opposed to the other federal courts. You don't give that argument much truck.
Well, I don't. We've got separation of powers, independent, co-equal branches. That's the theory of the Constitution. So the authority of the court is to decide cases, but the jurisdiction of the court is a legislative function. The salary of the justices is a legislative function. There's a real distinction here. And when it comes to ethical standards, the other judges have accepted legislation that has passed through Congress. So, but you know, let me just step back a minute. This debate doesn't make any sense. Why would not the 9 justices of the Supreme Court accept ethical standards and transparency. I mean, they whether we have the authority to do it or not, I believe we do. I'm mystified that the Chief Justice won't take it upon himself to clean up the mess that is in the court right now. That'd be the best.
You're a pretty powerful person. Has anyone ever taken you on a yacht vacation or bought a house for a family member or anything like that?
No.
Vermont Senator Peter Welch is a Democrat from Vermont. And when we come back the next time, let's return to the issue of rural broadband.
Great. Thank you.